This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm T. Shao-ik with Sumitra Selvaraj and Lim Soo-ann. And now for our second story, we have a Twitter poll running.
And on that poll, we're asking you, will banning an entire country from major sporting events such as the Olympics effectively curb doping in sports? So it's quite rather close. The results, 54% of you say no, but 46% of you say yes, it will work. So keep taking that poll. You can also tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio. If you have any opinions about this, WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. You can also call us at 03-7733-2900.
So which country has been completely banned? Well, Russia, if you've been following the news, they've been handed a four-year ban from all major international sporting events by the World Anti-Doping Agency. So yes, this does mean that the Russian national team will not be competing under their national flag in events like next year's Tokyo Olympics, the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics or the Qatar 2022 World Cup. But there's a caveat to that. Mm-hmm. So Russian athletes who are found or proven to not be implicated in any doping can still compete. It's just that they have to do it under a neutral flag or wearing neutral uniforms. And if you take the 2022 Qatar World Cup as a further example, if Russian players qualify, they can compete wearing neutral uniforms. And here's where it gets really muddy. It's a bit hard to understand how the team, the national team, can actually qualify, but they won't be allowed to play, as a country in the World Championships.
So they do have a category, right? There is an official category in major sporting events called the Authorized Neutral Athletes, ANA. And they have their own flag. It's just a white flag with the ANA. That is apparently what you would...
I see.
Yeah. And they did actually come up with this phrase of authorized neutral athletes because of the doping scandal that came to light in December 2014, as you mentioned.
So under this current ban, where Russia is being banned for 4 years, Russian sports and government officials are also banned from the Olympics, and they are prohibited from hosting international events. So there are a few exceptions to this. Perhaps we will get into this a bit more later. But for now, Russia has 21 days to appeal this ban, which highly doubtful that I don't doubt at all that they will appeal
I'm
it.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, the ban by WADA comes after years, right, of a doping conspiracy that's finally coming to light. I think it was first kind of, there was rumors bubbling about Sochi Olympics back in 2014. Then director of Russia's National Anti-Doping Laboratory, Grigory Rodchenko, revealed details of a state-run doping program meticulously planned for years to ensure Russia's dominance at the Olympics. According to a New York Times report, Rodchenkov said that he developed a three-drug cocktail of banned anabolic steroids that he mixed with liquor and provided to dozens of Russian athletes. And the drugs helped the athletes recover quickly after grueling training regimes, allowing them to compete in top form over successive day. Sounds a bit like a movie plot, no?
It does. And, to extend that further, obviously, anti-doping tests would have been going on very rigorously. But to ensure that the athletes were not caught in any urine testing, Russian anti-doping experts and members of their intelligence service actually were able to break into the supposedly tamper-proof bottles. They surreptitiously replaced urine samples that were tainted by that, cocktail of anabolic steroids. And they replaced them with clean urine that had been collected months earlier. And really, the way they did it reads like an operation straight out of the KGB, the old, USSR days. For hours each night, these agents worked in a shadow laboratory that they had built. It was lit by a single lamp. They passed bottles of urine through a hand-sized hole in the wall and to ensure that they will be ready for testing the next day.
Can you imagine, by the end of the games, Rodchenkov estimated that as many as 100 dirty urine samples were expunged, and the conspiracy was, of course, successful by all counts, right? None of their athletes were caught doping, and Russia won the most medals of the games, easily surpassing its main rival, the United States.
And the truth would not have come to light if WADA had, the World Anti-Doping Agency, if they had not published a report in 2015 on the systematic doping among Russian track and field athletes. And this was prompted by accusations from two whistleblowers in Russian athletics. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, after that, Rodchenkov was caught up in a national conspiracy. He was forced to flee the country. And then he spoke to a documentary filmmaker in the US about the details of the doping cover-up.
So following WADA's 2015 report, Russia was suspended, and I think it was limited to athletics events. Mm-hmm. But their involvement in sports was reinstated in 2015, although there was much controversy mm-hmm. over that decision as well. And so here we are today in 2019. It was just earlier this week, WADA made that unanimous decision to ban Russia after their anti-doping agency was found to have manipulated the laboratory data that was handed to investigators in January this year.
So it's not surprising that the Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev has responded, saying that the ban is part of chronic anti-Russian hysteria. Ooh. As athletes previously found guilty of doping had already been punished in one way or another.
But, you know, of course, not everyone agrees with the Russian perspective. And some critics and athletes have even called for a blanket ban with no exceptions. They're saying that WADA's current ban is still too lenient. Because of the conditions that it allows, it does leave open the possibility that there could still be hundreds of Russian athletes that will compete in, say, the Olympics next year.
Right.
And we don't know these athletes who could have been complicit in the previous doping conspiracy as well.
Mm. Yeah, complicit. That's an interesting word, right? I mean, you don't necessarily have to have taken the drugs or the anabolic steroids yourself, but what if you knew that your roommate was?
Mm. And you were part of that cover-up. And really, when it comes to a conspiracy of this nature and size, who knows what kind of pressure they're under as well?
Yeah. Right? Excellent point. Mm. Excellent point.
And it has happened, obviously, before 2018 Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. A team of Russian athletes were actually allowed to compete under that neutral flag.
Mm. Mm. And I was talking about this earlier. There are some exceptions to the ban.
Right. Mm. Okay.
So Russia actually can still compete in other sporting championships that are not strictly international games.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, St. Petersburg is the host city for the 2020 Euro, a football. And the Russian team will participate in those matches because it is a continental championship. It's not a global championship.
Mm.
So that's a loophole
yes,
for them.
Yes, that's right. Mm. Yeah.
So another loophole, right? It's quite possible that Russia will successfully be able to host their leg of the F1 Grand Prix because the promoters said that the contract was signed before the WADA investigation and it runs all the way till 2025. So they're fairly confident that, you know, they're not going to fall into the dragnet.
Mm. So to help us understand the significance and all the complexities surrounding this WADA ban, I spoke to Dato' Dr. Ramlan Abdul Aziz, a board member of the Southeast Asian Regional Anti-Doping Organization. I spoke to him earlier today, and I started off asking him what is the significance of this ban, especially in the context of, how worldwide international sporting organizations are really trying to address doping in a more systematic manner.
Okay, this is quite unprecedented, and it is the strongest message for anti-doping, simply because a whole country has been banned from competition at the highest level. And this will surely be a clear signal to other nations that doping is a definite all over the world. The reason being, Russia had actually been covering up for a lot of their athletes and coaches' misbehavior, doping across the board, affecting both the sport preparation sector and also the anti-doping sector.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was there had been some doping and people had been instead of being tested according to all the rules that have been set for everybody, they have avoided testing certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And when WADA came in to investigate the whole scene further, they were dragging their feet. And everybody, including the authorities in Russia, were decidedly uncooperative. And they were delaying things and then, giving re-hearings here, re-hearings there. Mm-hmm. So much so that WADA had no choice but to take the ultimate action. And they brought this matter up to the International Olympic Committee, or the IOC. But the IOC themselves were initially quite reluctant to take any action because they, even though they support anti-doping seriously, but it was a huge step for them to be sanctioning a huge sporting nation like Russia. Mm-hmm. So in the end, with all the evidence on the table and all signs that Russia were not cooperating the way they were expected to by everybody, not only WADA, but all over the world, then, of course, IOC had to concede that there's no further action other than the one that they're taking at the moment.
Mm. But there have been criticisms that that the ban could still be seen as being quite lenient because Russian athletes can technically still compete if they have not been involved in any doping, but they can compete under a neutral flag or with neutral uniforms. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the thing is this. I think everybody is keen. I think I recognize that it can be seen as a compromise, you see, mm-hmm. simply because the thing is for them to punish the guilty party, the ones who are organizing this so-called state-endorsed doping, mm-hmm. okay, and not to punish the innocent athletes because, of course, there are innocent athletes that people will recognize and who have a clean record. So the most important thing is for that other signal to be communicated anyway, mm-hmm. that those who are clean will be allowed to compete in whatever manner, shape or form that is allowed and agreed by everyone. So I think it's even though it can be seen as a compromise, but to ban everybody across the board would also be seen as very harsh by some other sectors of the anti-doping world. Mm-hmm. But we shall see because this is an unprecedented step, mm-hmm. and we will see whether the fact that the Russian flag has been totally eclipsed from the next Olympics, whether this is enough of a signal or a warning or a deterrent for not only Russia in the future once their ban has been served, but also with other countries if they are not taking anti-doping seriously as we all expect them to.
Just for some background, what is the range of disciplinary actions that WADA can impose?
Well, the thing is, this is another strong signal as well. Before this, WADA had some measure of struggle with the International Olympic Committee, I should say, simply because they wanted IOC to be more decisive. Mm-hmm. To be more, to be stronger in the way they were dealing with the state, that there was a lot of evidence against them anyway at that point. Mm-hmm. They were dragging their feet simply because they were reluctant to sanction a very huge sporting nation like Russia. Mm-hmm. But now I think they have recognized totally that they cannot be seen as a serious sporting organization if they are to ignore all of this and continue their previous line of or their previous attitude towards the whole thing, mm-hmm. At least towards Russia. So the fact that this has happened is actually something that will set the tone in the future for everybody else. And I think anti-doping will be something that will be seriously taken on board by every nation in the world.
Yeah, and what kind of impact is this going to have on other countries' anti-doping efforts? How do you see this improving anti-doping efforts across the board?
Well, the thing is this, because it's still a big effort by everybody. The countries that are not as well developed as Russia and the other big sporting nations are just beginning to establish the anti-doping mechanisms and structure, mm-hmm. their anti-doping, respective anti-doping agencies, and training their personnel, getting everybody up to speed. Mm-hmm. That is at the tail end of all of this. They will need to be encouraged that their struggles to establish all of this against very little funding, with very little resources and all that, mm-hmm. they need to see that at the top, that eventually this is where they will reach, that this thing is taken very, very seriously and not just an exercise in forcing everybody to knuckle down, but the elite and privileged few are mm-hmm. Let off and treated leniently. Mm-hmm. So this is a good, encouraging sign for all of those who are just beginning to set up and to make sport clean across the board. They will need to see this because then there are no exceptions at all.
So that was Dr. Ramlan Abdul Aziz, a board member of the Southeast Asia Regional Anti-Doping Organization. And he's also the former director of the National Anti-Doping Agency in Malaysia. So he definitely knows what he's talking about when it comes to individual countries mm-hmm. That are putting in place their anti-doping efforts mm-hmm. and how your small country, especially for us like Malaysia, right? Mm-hmm. How your small country's efforts is playing out amidst this huge international backdrop of these global sporting championships.
I think the ban is interesting. The ban is interesting because sports at a national level isn't individuals competing. It mm-hmm. is citizens competing to reflect the values of their country.
Yes.
That's how I feel about it anyway.
Especially when it comes to events like the Olympics, which is so divided along countries. You want your country to win the most medal. You mm-hmm. want your country to win these sports rather than you want that athlete to win.
Mm. Well, you represent your country. You represent your country and what it stands for.
And it's interesting because If we take Russia's example and their decades-long state-sanctioned doping, efforts, what do they stand for?
Okay. So that's an interesting question. I wonder whether Suwan, you're probably too young to remember this, but back in the 60s and 70s, East Germany was, even through the 80s, East Germany was a powerhouse in sports, right? And they had a state-sanctioned doping program. I believe at that time it was their Minister of Sports who actually initiated the program. But if you think about the reason why it happened for them, East Germany, the Berlin Wall had just gone up. East Germany was a new country. And do you remember that conversation that we were having a little bit earlier about a different subject? And we were talking about what does it take for a new country to become a new country? And you said to me there were four things. It's people.
It's people, government land, and recognition.
Germany felt that sports was a way that it could be recognized in the eyes of the world.
So never mind if you cheat all the way
doesn't matter
to your victories.
But that whole idea of becoming a bona fide country mm-hmm. meant that they needed international recognition. And so the state, their government, decided that in order to be up there with the big boys, they would have to have other people sit up and take notice.
But also when it comes to the international sporting arena and organizations like the IOC sort of playing the role, they're supposed to play the role of ensuring that it's a fair playing ground for everyone and that it's well-regulated. And, you can hear Dato' Ramlan trying to be very diplomatic as well, but alluding to the very bureaucratic nature of these organizations and whether they are actually effectively playing their role in regulating the nations.
Well, the Russians will tell you that they're not.
It's interesting to see that some athletes can potentially still compete in the Olympics if the committee can prove that they have not participated in the doping.
But this is a country that can get through tamper-proof bottles.
That's very true. In a laboratory that's lit with a single lamp.
Right.
And I mean, you know, from what you read, it really comes down to the spirit of sports.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the spirit of especially championships like the Olympics, where that's for every athlete to even reach the Olympics. It could be the pinnacle of your career. And if you are robbed of, you could have potentially been robbed of a medal because of another athlete who got there using performance-enhancing drugs, mm-hmm. you know, and, that are banned.
And the other side of that story, or the other side of that really, really nice analogy, is the fact that I remember reading once in a book about the East German doping scandal, you know, how, as you said, getting the Olympic medal was the pinnacle of success, to mm-hmm. be seen as arriving. But I remember there was a ex-East German athlete who was quoted as saying, but for every Olympian, we had about 300 to 400 invalids.
Mm. Okay.
From the use
cost
of
performance-enhancing drugs.
Yes, that's right. There's so much, actually. Mm. And when you, you know, that example that you gave of the East German, their doping efforts,
yes. I should say,
it's fascinating. And there's so much to unpack when it comes to
there
doping.
Is. There is.
And what's really interesting is the legal aspects as well. Mm. If you are interested in finding more about how that works, how you can hold countries accountable legally under international law, on a previous Live and Learn show, we have talked to sports lawyers Richard Wee and Brian Song about the legal aspects of doping in sports. So you can look for that podcast by searching for doping. Let's just quickly revisit our Twitter poll.
Mm-hmm. So on a Twitter poll, we were asking you, will banning an entire country from major sporting events such as the Olympics effectively curb doping in sports? So earlier it was higher on the no compared mm-hmm. to yes, but now it's actually 50-50 at both. So I guess there is a lot of mixed feelings about this.
Whether
it could be seen as a very strong statement on the one hand, but whether it's enough to say that doping should not, that it's enough to stop state-sanctioned doping is another question.
Mm. Yeah. So that's all the time we have for the show today. If you want to weigh in on any of the two stories we've been discussing, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or send us a message on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show and you want to look for our podcasts, you can download them on bfm.my/dailydigest. We are also on Spotify, and of course, you can download our BFM app. We leave you now with Johnny Rivers with Secret Agent Man, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.